Hey everybody, I'm Aline Thompson, founder of Treasured Ministries, and welcome to the Treasured Ministries podcast. Oh my goodness, has it been a crazy day around here today? I want to go ahead and just ask for forgiveness. Pardon the interruption if you hear my dogs barking coming in and out. I had to pull out of my podcast studio because we're having some work done upstairs where that is and pull this into my bedroom. So I'm sitting here inside of my bedroom doing my podcast, and it has been a wild, wild and crazy day. But nonetheless, the show is going to go on. I'm super excited to talk to you about the message that God has given me today. It's really a weighty message because I want to talk to you about toxic words and how toxic words can become toxic seeds in our life that can plant a root of bitterness if we don't handle it God's way. Now, to me, words, when you think about them on an everyday basis, I mean, we all know if we're inside of Christian circles that our words matter. We know the scriptures that talk about them inside of Proverbs and in many places inside of the Bible. But every now and then, God will just illuminate the weightiness of words to me, that we say all the time that words matter, but do we really, really understand? And are we really paying heed to the words that we allow to come out of our mouth? You see, I can't control what other people say, but I can control what I say. And my words that I allow to come out of my mouth matter greatly to God, because words carry tremendous power, and they can either bring the power to bless or to curse others. They can either lift others up or they can pull them down. And many times, you know, you may just think, oh, words have lots of power, and we sort of gloss over that truth. But we need to remind ourselves of that truth. And nobody would argue with that, but I just want to read a few scriptures. Proverbs 12:18 says, "The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing." Proverbs 12:25 says, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers up." Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And then Proverbs 18:21, probably the most noted verse inside of Proverbs about words, says, "The tongue has the power of life and death. Those who love it will eat its fruit." So what we say really matters. It can either bring life and blessing to others, or it can bring toxicity. It can weigh others down. And oftentimes, you know, we've heard that phrase, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But the truth of the matter is that words really are powerful and that they can hurt. In fact, I read this article by Dr. Caroline Leaf. Dr. Caroline Leaf is a scientist. She's written many books on the mind and how our minds really operate with such biblical truths. And I pulled up an article by her, and here's what she said about words. "Words reflect the thoughts and emotions of the speaker, because every word was first a thought and an emotion. They are electromagnetic forces that cause real and lasting change, both in the ears of the listener and you." And words really do cause pain. Researchers have shown that hurt feelings from words affect the same area in the brain as a broken bone or a physical injury. In other words, that rhyme, Scottish rhyme, she says, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me," is most certainly not true. So if you were to break your bones, if someone were to kick you in the shin so hard that it broke your bone, it would impact the same area in your brain that would happen when somebody spoke a hurtful word over you. And I want us to just remember that, because the words that you and I say carry great weight and they matter. And we are responsible for the words that we say. And no other story illustrates this more for me, because, you know, you might think, well, I'm just a sensitive soul and, you know, I shouldn't get so upset about those words. But I love telling this story that illustrates that no matter how strong of a Christian you are, that words can really hurt. A woman that I just dearly love, who is a very strong Christian, and she has been a missionary in a foreign country, and then they had that season there, and then she and her husband moved back to my hometown, and God called them to buy a home and live in an impoverished area of our downtown city and open up a school and minister to the poor there and live among them. And she just is one that just exudes the Lord Jesus Christ. I love being around her because she's so full of joy and happiness and love. And I just greatly admire her. So anytime I have a chance to talk to her, you know, I'll ask her a bunch of questions. And so I was speaking to her at a time in my life when I had been through something really difficult. And I asked her, I said, you know, did you ever walk through anything inside of all of your experiences and inside of all your dangers that you experienced inside of mission, being a missionary? And let me tell you that she's told me stories. And one story, there were people that were getting ready to stone she and her husband because that was the culture there. And then back here in our town, she would often be caught in the crossfire of drug selling and guns going off and prostitution. And they were in dangerous situations that would make them fear and want to flee. And so I asked her, I said, you know, did you ever walk through anything in your time in ministry that just made you want to quit and caused you just your heart to really hurt? And she said, I did. And she said, my husband and I, we had to take some time away to just get focused back on the Lord. And I said to her, I said, I know, was it the time when you almost got stoned? And, you know, she said, no. I said, I know, was it the time when you got caught in the crossfire inside of a gang situation where there was drug trading going on and there were gunshots being fired? And she said, no. She said, it was the time that somebody inside of the community, after we had helped them so much, returned our help with just insulting, untrue, horrible words about us. And it just literally almost sucked the life out of me. And I couldn't believe it, because here she's such a strong Christian. And I thought, of all the dangers that she's been through, for her to have words laid in her lap like that, they carried enough weight to wound her soul to the point where she had to pull back and take a break and get recentered on the Lord and walk through forgiveness. And that just showed me, it doesn't matter how big of a spiritual giant you are, that words always carry power. And the reason why words carry power, and you and I have all had experiences where words that other people have said, encouraging words, have lifted us up. But we've also had that experience that talks about inside of those scriptures I read, where words spoken over us tend to weigh us down. And see, our words have power. And the reason they have power is because they essentially connect us to a source. That much like this, I think about car keys. And car keys, I look at them, they're not really big. It's just a piece of metal, right? But if I don't have my car keys, I can't drive my car because my key will connect me to a source. And just like, you know, my husband has a car and I have a car, it really matters which key I choose, because the keys that I choose will determine the car that I drive. And in similar fashion, that's what words do. Words connect us to a source, and we can either connect to the source of life, to God's word, his truth, and to speak those life-giving words, or we can align with the enemy and we can respond maybe when we're insulted with words that can pull others down. And that's the reason why words are powerful. They're small, right? But they're powerful because they connect us to a source. The book of James in chapter 3 says it this way: "For if we could control our tongues, we would be perfect and could also control ourselves in every other way. We can make a large horse go wherever we want it by means of a small bit in its mouth. And a small rudder makes a huge ship turn wherever the pilot chooses to go, even though the winds are strong. In the same way, the tongue is a small thing that makes grand speeches, but a tiny spark can set a great forest on fire. And among all the parts of the body, the tongue is a flame of fire. It is a whole world of wickedness, corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on fire, for it is set on fire by hell itself." That is the word of God about your tongue, about the talk that you choose to have. And see, oftentimes, when we are insulted, it can trigger retaliation inside of us. It can trigger that. It's just sort of an automatic response that when people say words against us, that we will automatically, by habit, want to respond to them. You see, toxic words that other people speak, they can become toxic seeds in our life. And if we don't deal with that seed, it can become a bitter root. And when a bitter root is planted inside of our heart, it impacts the way that we see. It impacts our lives. In fact, sometimes we might be carrying around a bitter root from a toxic word that was planted, that was spoken over us when we were little, when we were growing up, and there was no way. We didn't have the capacity to handle that situation. And so it planted in us a seed of bitterness. And sometimes we carry around that anger and we carry around that bitterness. And then when people insult us, they may, you know, it may just be a little insult. But much like if you hit somebody that was carrying a cup of coffee, hot coffee would spill out. Because it's buried inside of us, we might retaliate quickly in anger in response to that because of what is buried inside of us. And that's why inside of our scripture this week, and our scripture was 1 Peter, the third chapter, starting in verse 8, it says, "Finally, all of you should be of one mind, sympathize with each other, love each other as brothers and sisters, be tenderhearted, and keep a humble attitude. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with blessing. That is what God has called you to do, and he will bless you for it." And so inside of 1 Peter, the people inside of 1 Peter, they were being persecuted. Many times they were fearing for their lives. And so over and over again, they were ridiculed. They were accused of wrong that they never did. And so that sort of stuff builds up. And we might be able to handle an insult one time, but when it happens repeatedly, you know, we might just pop and retaliate against people like that. But the Bible is very clear. You see, God wants to give us a new pattern to follow. And what he tells us is don't respond with retaliation, respond with blessing instead. You see, when we are insulted, it triggers a natural temptation inside of us to retaliate. Everybody, it doesn't matter how much of a spiritual giant you are, that there's going to be that temptation where you're going to want to retaliate. But the answer to this is to remember that people are not your reward. God is your reward. And when you are tempted, you're going to want to, it's sort of like a hunger like that you need to satisfy. And you and the automatic, natural, habitual response that our flesh has to that is to retaliate, is to get back. And we may do this with passive-aggressive comments. It may be with sarcasm, but at the root of that, we just want to get back. It's almost like, you know, we retaliate because we're hurt. That's why we bounce back on people. But the problem is that really deep down what we want is we don't want to feel pain. And the retaliation, it might make us feel good in the heat of the moment, but eventually it causes more pain. I like to paint the picture this way. If a bee stings me, my natural instinct is going to be to swat that bee, right? I mean, I'm not even going to think about it. I'm not even going to get to one in a count of one, two, three. My hand's going to just immediately come and want to swat the bee. And although I might kill the bee, it doesn't take away the pain in my arm. It doesn't take away the sting. But you know what does take away the sting? And it's so ironic, but a friend of mine actually told me this. And not long after she told me, I was stung by a bee and I used her remedy and it worked. But she told me that if you take a penny, and a penny has copper in it, and if you rub that penny over the sting, it'll take the sting away. And you would think that's silly, that's crazy, that doesn't make any logical sense. But see, I can swat at bees all day long, and it's not going to take away the sting of the pain. I might kill the bee, but I won't take away the pain. No, it's when I pick up a penny and I rub the penny. And God is saying, I know you're experiencing pain, and I know that hurts you, but don't respond out of your normal habit. Let me help you create a new habit. And my habit is going to bring healing. You see, God wants us to stop that toxic seed before it gains a root in our heart. And the choice that we make with how we respond will determine if that toxic word will take root and bear toxic fruit. So words have power because they connect us to a source. And how I choose to respond to insult determines if the toxic word will take root and bear fruit. And what God wants to do, he says, I know it's a natural habit. I don't blame you for automatically responding in retaliation. But let me change that habit to give you a new habit that will create healing. Now, in order for us to enact this habit, you and I will have to make the choice. In other words, God gives us the habit, but we must make the choice to put the habit into action. It's a free will choice that you and I make to respond to blessing. And so the key is in this, is to decide in advance, to make a decision. I'm a believer, and my automatic response is going to be to speak blessing over somebody in response to insult. And I'm going to see this as an act of worship that's going to release worry and fear, and it's going to help me find God's reward instead. Now, go back to the bee sting. What do you really want? You really don't, I mean, some of you may want that bee dead, but ultimately what we all want is we don't want the pain, right? And so inside of this scripture, what we see is that if we retaliate, we might feel good in the moment, but we're not going to get rid of the pain. It's actually going to multiply in our life. However, when we respond with blessing, we receive God's reward. Listen to what the scripture says. And again, this is in 1 Peter. I'm going to start in 1 Peter 3:9. Don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with blessing. This is what God has called you to do, and He will bless you for it. For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil. Search for peace. Work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord are on those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns His face against those who do evil. And so in this, He's saying, we see that God wants to reward us. And what He's saying is, you get to enjoy life. You get to see happy days. You get to experience peace, and my eyes will be on you. I will be your vindicator. People are not your reward. I am your reward. The Lord will bless you for doing this. And so do you see that the reason why we automatically respond in retaliation is because naturally we're hurt, and it's like an automatic response. Because why? We want to stop the pain. And God says, I want to stop the pain too, but I want to stop it in a way that it's going to be long-lasting and healing. And in order to do that, you've got to create a new habit. Now, science tells us that habits are created. Basically, a habit is a formula that our brain automatically follows. That when I see a cue, I will do a routine in order to get a reward. When there's a trigger that happens, I will enter into a routine to get a reward. Here's some examples. So I would say one of mine, a trigger can be the end of dinner. The end of dinner, my routine is always grabbing just a little piece of chocolate, and there's reward from that. It tastes good. It's sort of my reward at the end of the day. But what if I replaced that with it? What if I said to myself, you know what? I don't want to eat a little piece of chocolate at night, and I want to replace that. Well, then I've got to create a new habit. I've got to create a new habit. And experts say that if you plan ahead, if you plan ahead to create a new routine, and if you define what reward, what is it that you're really looking for, then you can create a new habit, or it's much easier for you to avoid temptation. In other words, if you were to say to yourself, you know what, no more chocolate after dinner, no more. No more. And, you know, it's at the end of the day, you don't have a lot of willpower at the end of the day. And so ultimately, it's going to be hard for you not to choose that chocolate. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. But if you pre-decide beforehand, experts say, if you pre-decide it can help you to create a new plan to avoid that temptation. Because what am I really looking for? I'm looking for just a way to relax, a nice thing to do at the end of the day. So what if I replaced eating the chocolate with, let's say, taking a bubble bath or just sitting down and talking with my family, or just saw that as the reward. So I want to read this to you about that, about the science of habit. And something to me that is always so fascinating as I look inside of God's Word is that the plans and the principles, the biblical principles that He teaches us, that He puts into practice, that those really, He created our souls. He knows how we're wired. He knows that you and I are wired for reward. And He knows that insult is a trigger that can automatically, make us want to retaliate. And so because that's a trigger, then He gives us a different way to handle it by creating a holy habit that will actually bring healing by changing the routine that we do. Now, let me read this to you. It says, and this is inside of this book. I just finished the Whole 30 diet, which is really, it's an experimentation where you get rid of a lot of things in your diet, like dairy and beans and gluten and dairy. I say that because I miss my cheese and I miss my cream and my coffee. But anyway, I had a friend that did it and she really loved it. And so I wanted to try it. So I did the Whole 30 diet. And before I did it, I read her book. And her book was good because it really prepared you. And one of the ways that she prepared you was this idea of the if-then, was creating new routines that you could do around different scenarios and having you pre-plan them. For example, if you, let me just read this to you in her book. It says, studies show that you are 2 to 3 times more likely to succeed in your goal if you use an if-then plan than if you don't. Here's how it works. Habits have 3 parts, the cue, the routine, and the reward. If-then statements create a really strong link between the cue, the if, and the routine, the then. That strong link means that you're more likely to follow through with the action automatically with far less effort, and with less effort translates to less willpower required, which always is a good thing when highly tempting, rewarding comfort foods are involved. And so she was helping you out, like giving you, for example, if you are at a birthday celebration and cake comes out, then, and she, gives you a way to respond. If you're tired at the end of the day and you've had a terrible day, then call a friend and talk, go on a walk, so you don't go to the food, the normal foods that bring you comfort. And so this whole idea of if then, what was really cool about it was that I read through it. And because I read through it, I had some things in my back pocket that I could pull out. And I had already made a decision, I'm going to do this Whole 30. So I'd already predetermined that I'm going to do it. And I knew if this happened, then I was going to do that. And the reason why I was prepared for it and why I was successful in this diet is because the author of the Whole, she gave me a plan. Well, see, God has done the same thing for us in His Word. And He says, change your habit. I get it. I understand. I saw how somebody hurt you. I know what they've said about you, but here's what I want you to do. If you are insulted, pay back with blessing and watch me reward you. Do you get that? The trigger is the insult. The new routine is to pay back with blessing. And the reward is a reward that comes from God. And God is your rewarder, not people. And when we connect to God that way, when He becomes our source for blessings, God has a limitless supply. People have a limited supply. God is, you know, He is limitless. And so essentially, it is a move of faith when we say, I'm going to respond with blessing. And the way that you do that is to be prepared. Listen to this scripture starting in 1 Peter 3:13. Now, who will want to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your Christian hope, always be ready to explain it. But do this in a gentle and respectful way. And so it says, be ready to explain it. And so, in other words, this passage says, here's the plan. Get prepared. The plan is, if you're insulted, respond with blessing. And if people ask you about that, be prepared with a response. But do it respectfully, not self-righteously, not like you're holier than that, but just respond with blessing and then be ready to just give the credit to God. So God gives us to help us decide in advance. He says, here's the plan. Now, God's not going to do it for us because forgiveness and responding in blessing, that has to be our free will choice. But when I decide, see, that's the key. Just like she said in Whole 30, you got to decide before. If this happens, then I'm going to do this. If a friend is joking around with me and saying, oh, come on, you're on day 29, just have a piece of chocolate cake, then I'm going to respond this way. And so go ahead and get your responses in order and get ready to respond with blessing. And you're going to be so excited when you do, because the Bible says that God will reward you. Don't worry when people insult you. People are not your rewarder. God is your rewarder. The next thing that He does inside of this passage is that He reminds us of our identity. And He says, this is what you are called to do. And see, as Christians, when we become a Christian, we give up the right to retaliate, period. And I have looked for loopholes inside of the Bible on this one, and there are none. It's the hallmark of who we are. You speak ugly to me, I'll respond with blessing. And I'm doing it not because you deserve it, not because I necessarily am feeling the love. No, when I decide in advance to speak blessing in response to insult, it is an act of worship that releases worry and fear to find God's reward instead. Because listen to this scripture. It says, so don't be worried or afraid of their threats. Now, let me stop there. Back when this was written in 1 Peter time, the threat was their very life. Their lives were on the line. They were facing death. But it says, don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And see, when we are so afraid of rejection, and let me tell you something, we might look inside of this in 1 Peter and say, Aileen, my life is not being threatened. But the truth of the matter is, we just talked about this in the very beginning, that words hurt. And in fact, there's a Christian counselor who once told me that he believes that people's greatest fear is actual words of rejection. It's not death. And he says that because, and I think he makes a good argument for it, because people will take their own lives. They will take their own lives because they don't want to face the pain of rejection. They will commit suicide. And so we can see that the threat of the, you know, the insults and all of that. It's very real. And these people, they, you know, it's not like this was one insult or a misunderstanding. This was an everyday life for them. The Christians, they were just, you know, the Jewish Christians that were being scattered, it was like you were just, you were being targeted constantly, right? And when Nero was in charge, you know, your very life was hanging in the balance. And so repeatedly, and so of course, you know, we all hit a breaking point and we want to retaliate, but God says, respond in blessing instead. And so he says, don't worry or be afraid. And so see, that's me fearing man. And fearing man will cause worry because I don't have control over what other people say. And so I can worry about it. What if this happens? What if this person doesn't do this, right? But see, it says instead of worrying about all that, just worship God and fear the Lord instead. So the Lord is your life. Not living off of what people, the Lord is your life. So we trade our worry for worship instead. In fact, when I was reading this passage, I was thinking about a particular instance in my life, and the Lord said to me, you are worshiping when you worry about what other people say about you, Aline. I call you to put what I say. That's the most important thing in your life. Let all that other stuff go. But anyway, so we trade our fear of man, and what we find is God's reward instead. We find God's reward instead. But he also talks about baptism in here, and he says this in verse 21. He says, and water is a picture of baptism, which now saves you, not by removing dirt from your body, but as a response to God from a clean conscience. It is effective because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I want to read to you what my Bible note said on this. From the Life Application Study Bible. By identifying themselves with Christ through baptism, Peter's readers could resist turning back, even under pressure of persecution. Public baptism would keep them from the temptation to renounce their faith. Now, it's that public declaration that you're a Christian. When you're a Christian, you have a new identity, and a part of that new identity is that you don't retaliate. You don't respond that way. You give up that right, and you let God be your vindicator and watch over you. And so that can even help us. It's like, you know, when you sign up to do Whole 30 and you tell people you're doing Whole 30, well, that's your public declaration, right? That you've made a decision. And see, wise women, they will predetermine to respond to insult with blessing and receive God's reward. It is your choice. It is my choice. And when we make that choice, we're not being doormats. We stand with God's power. But when we retaliate, what happens is we've given power over to our offender. What we need to do is we need to see offense as an opportunity to receive blessing from God. And see, when God is the source of your reward, blessings will always abound, and there's never a fear of loss. And see, that's what happened here because it was saying, don't be afraid of the threats. And see, when we're afraid of a threat means we're afraid of losing something. And when you lose something in life, whether it's love or a job or a ministry, you understand that there's nothing in life that's 100% and that loss can become real. And sometimes what we'll do in that is we'll try to control everything around us so that we don't experience loss. But God is saying, let me be Lord of your life. Don't be afraid of losing anything because you can never lose me. And as long as I have God's favor and his reward, I'm going to be okay. But I must do it God's way, and I must choose to do it God's way. Words that we say have power because they connect us to a source, and how I choose to respond to insult determines if the toxic word of insult will take root and bear the fruit of bitterness. But when I decide in advance to speak blessing in response to insult, it is an act of worship that releases worry and fear to find God's reward instead. And when God is the source of my reward, blessings will always abound, and there is no fear of loss of reward. I'm going to leave you with three action points, and you can pray through and pick one. The first thing is ask yourself, what am I afraid of losing? What am I afraid of losing? And the reason you want to ask yourself that is because behind all the insults is the enemy himself. And see, he'll want to come at you, and he'll want to take you out and to take you down, right? And so your most feared losses, that's a huge trigger point for you to retaliate to. And he knows just how to set up the right bait to let that happen. And so when the urge to retaliate rises up, it's really wise to stop and just pause and think through, even if you can just scribble stuff out on a paper, what is sort of rushing through your head. Because the reality is that there could be a wound, a seed, a toxic seed that was in your life a long time ago that somebody sowed, and you were too young to handle it. And you need to go to God and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me the toxic word that's got to go. And one of the things that Caroline Leaf recommends is to just concentrate on one thought for 21 days. She has a 21-day detox program, and it's definitely worth checking out. And she teaches you this routine to help go to the Lord and ask him what thoughts you need to filter out. And then the last thing that I want to leave you with is to understand the power that your words carry, and to be a sower of love. That just as much as I can speak words and hurt others, man, I can speak words that will heal others. And you and I want to be solution givers. And there's nothing that stops your offender more dead in their tracks when you respond with blessing. I want to close with this one last story. Now, I don't want you to think that I'm super Sally spiritual and I've got it all together and got it all going on. But I do remember one time, because there are trigger points in my life too. And in going through this message, I was literally on my face before God crying, saying, God, I want to be free from this. And I know I've got trigger points. Identify them. There was one particular scenario where literally God warned me in advance that this person was going to insult me. We were going to dinner with this group. And this person, I don't know if he's a believer or not. And to him, he just makes fun of Treasure Ministries. And I knew that insult was coming. And God literally, in my quiet time, said, when he speaks insult, I want you to return with blessing. And I thought to myself, no way, because God, I cannot lie. I mean, I was just being self-righteous and all of that. But see, we can always find something to return back with blessing. We always can. And God impressed upon my heart that He was a good father and to talk about His parenting. And so when the insult came, I was able to quickly turn the conversation around and ask a question. And I said, "Can you tell me how you've raised such a great daughter? Because I think you're an excellent father. I love spending time with your daughter." And he just loved that. He really did. And, you know, there was like a tipping point before where I said, "I do not want to say anything to him. I don't want to say anything because, you know, da 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 da." But the moment that I said it, I'm telling you, I felt like I had all the power of heaven behind me. And I felt like I could jump up to the clouds and down. Now, the reason I was able to do that is because the Lord spoke to me before and He gave me a plan. And you know what? When I was studying for this, God said to me, "Eileen, I've given you a plan in my word. And it's how I always want you to respond to insult. And my plan is, when you have that trigger of insult, respond in blessing. You're not going to do it perfectly. And when it doesn't happen, pull back and come in prayer with me so that we can dissect it together. But when you became my child, I start watching over you and you release your right to retaliate. You rise up over it by responding with blessing and watch what I can do." And that's God's plan for you as well. And so as wise women, let's covenant together that we are going to predetermine to respond to insult with blessing and receive God's reward. Now, in the times that I respond, and maybe it'll be sarcastic, maybe I'll just be passive aggressive, whatever it is, you know what I feel? I don't feel powerful. I don't feel God's peace. I feel powerless. I literally feel like I've given away my power to somebody else. It's time for the women of God to take back the power by predetermining, by making that choice. You know what? I'm going to be a blesser. I'm going to be a blesser. You will not control hate in my heart. I will not receive that seed. I will sow back in love and watch God come in a powerful way. Because the Bible says this, "The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and His ears are open to their prayers." And that is your Treasured Tribe Talk for today. I want to invite you to subscribe to the podcast. I hope that you do. That helps us to grow our podcast. And I also want to invite you, if this podcast has blessed you, to send this podcast out to a friend and invite them to listen. And most of all, I love hearing from you. So my email is Eileen, A-L-I-E-N-E, at treasureministries.com. I'd love to hear from you. So send me an email and I'll talk to you soon. Thanks so much, everybody. And again, remember, wise women predetermine to respond to insult with blessing and receive God's reward. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.